Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bingetown, how are we feeling today? It's your boy Dave, and I am joined by the OG anime squad of Alki and Kyle. Today, we are continuing our coverage of Korea's hit webtoon anime adaptation, Solo Leveling, with episodes 2 and 3 today, titled If I Had One More Chance and It's Like a Game. Really not much to say at the start of this recording, besides I freaking love this anime. These two episodes just give us the full backstory pretty much of our MC, Sungjin Woo. And I think everything going forward, the hype levels are going to be insane. So just, I guess, quick thoughts on these two episodes, Kyle and Alki, whoever wants to start first.
I think that they were paced probably about the way I expected. I think they gave people two cliffhangers, very big cliffhangers, but kind of almost in different ways. Episode 2 cliffhanger was huge. Mm-hmm. I was watching a lot of reactions and people were like, like leading up to it, it's like obviously he's not gonna die. It's like what the world's gonna happen, and then the game screen comes up, and then this one people want now to see him fight so badly, and they give us like the smallest little teaser. Yep. So I think they're doing a good job in terms of like the pacing of things. Obviously, I think we're anxious to like really get into So, but I think that like you're saying, I think episode 4, 5, 6, like it's just gonna, it's a ball rolling down a hill, and you can't stop it at this point.
I also agree that the pacing seems pretty good. I have no real gripes with that. I loved the grin of the big statue in the second episode. I was really looking forward to that from the first episode. And this, the third episode of the series was, you know, an entertaining way to unravel his new powers. It was cool. It's seems like it's something that only he knows about so far. And I'm excited to see, you know, how he develops this newfound ability.
Yeah. And I like that you guys are bringing up the pacing, because I remember being very hype about, back in the day, the webtoon anime adaptation of God of High School. That was one that we were all personally really looking forward to. It came out and it wasn't anything like the webtoon or manga adaptation. It was just so fast paced, but yeah, this one is sticking with it. It's very one-to-one, almost maybe a couple things extra that we haven't gotten in the manga, but I'm not going to complain. I think more content is the better.
I have one complaint. It's going to be 12 episodes.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that.
That's fucking stupid.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that at the start too. That is only going to be 12 episodes. So I honestly don't even know where this is going to end. I imagine he'll be pretty powered up at that point in time, but it's just, yeah, it's such a shame to see 12 episodes rather than your 24, 25 kind of numbers.
I think was God of High School 12 or 24?
12.
Okay, well, they're probably just testing the waters because it's not your typical adaptation, I guess, since it's from a webtoon. Mm-hmm. I don't think it should be that much of a difference. Like, Solo Leveling's popular enough. It's obviously been pretty hype. I guess they're trying to feel out how many like new watchers will actually watch it. I don't know. What can I say?
Yeah.
12 episodes, probably, not enough.
They probably identified a part in the story that felt like a good season one ending, not wanting to maybe put like commit to 24 episodes from like the animators' side of things. I mean, obviously we covered JJK. We had a whole discussion about kind of workload and what that does. So, I mean, yeah, maybe it might end up just being a very smart business decision that we, on the other end, just kind of have to,
I'm worried, quote
unquote, deal with, because I mean, 12 episodes are still going to be good, but
it makes sense why they're bringing Che into it. if it's only going to be 12 episodes, I guess. And
well, it's also they're adapting the light novel. So like she is introduced this early in the light novel, apparently. Not that I know, but
so
I read online.
For all you listeners and watchers out there, I did not read the light novel.
Oh, yeah,
like
you
I
said you were
going to
read the whole thing.
Because, dude, honestly, it's like the webtoon sways better, so I don't even... I'll give it another shot. How about that?
And just for the people out there listening, just going to recap that us three have all read the manhwa, but we're going to keep the discussions spoiler-free. If we feel like it at the end of this episode, like we did in episode one, we might have a spoiler filled discussion for like 5 minutes. If you want to hang around, if you've read with us and want to listen to those thoughts, we may have one at the end. We'll see how this conversation goes, but let's just open this up. We're going to open up still completely in the shit. We're just going to recap the commandments of the Kartanon temple. It's revere God, praise God, and prove your worth to God. Early on, Mr. Song says that he's been in a lot of B-rank dungeons, fought a lot of B-rank bosses. This one is easily S-tier, pretty much. So we kind of get the...
Yeah, I love how he questions, like, this is A-rank. Oh, no, maybe S-rank. It's like, it's obviously S-rank. Yeah. Like,
and the power that gets displayed here after the first commandment we get covered definitely should show immediately with the S-rank. But just also real quickly, we want to bring up that we get a little bit more backstory into the world itself. It was 10 years ago. I think we were having a small discussion in this on this in the last episode. It gets immediately answered here. It's 10 years ago when gates appeared that connected their the world that they're in to an altered dimension, which gave rise to a number of like supernatural phenomena happening, aka hunters appearing, the eternal rest, which we'll get into a little bit too. But we also again get a confirmation of a discussion that we were talking about in the last episode of, once a hunter is assigned their power, it can never be changed. So just hammering that home here. But then we get the first commandment. So Sung recognizes that the first commandment is revere God. And he kind of deduces that they all need to pray in order for them to escape. One idiot tries to kind of run away.
And I love that you say that, because my comment is that would totally be you. Like you would be like, I'm not supposed to die here, like my speed, I trust it, and then just get sapped out of existence like that.
Damn, Kyle, bro.
Yeah, no faith in me.
I mean, I have faith in your self-confidence. You believe in yourself.
But it's just crazy to see the power level of this, because this guy truly believed that he was one of the fastest human beings and had full faith in his speed, and he just gets disintegrated in a matter of seconds, which pretty much lends the discussion that this is just immediately an S tier. If a B rank dungeon guy or whatever this guy's rank was just evaporated, then they're just in the shit.
Yeah, he honestly, like looking forward, he probably had it the easiest.
Yeah, honestly, that was probably the best way, right? I wouldn't want to get split in half like that one dude and the other dude
stomped on.
Yeah, nah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. This is definitely the quickest way of death here.
Instantaneous, yeah. So, I mean, he got a speedy death for his lackluster speed.
But after completing part one of the commandment, which is to bow your head, we get the ghastly smile. That's the iconic smile from the manhwa that Aoki, I think, wanted the episode one to end on that smile, which after rewatching episode two, I totally agree with you. I feel like that would have been
sick.
Yeah, it would have been a great spot to just end the episode.
Whatever. It ended fine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it ended in another iconic way. So not to complain too much.
Yeah.
They get the second commandment in, which is praising God. This one random dude decides to start uttering some prayers toward this God, and you know, whoopsie daisy, it's not the right God.
His song is just like, oh no, oh no, oh no. See,
I will admit that would have been me.
Yeah.
Trying to get on your knees and praying like that.
I would have been like praying in Greek and shit.
Yeah, this guy gets crushed, just absolutely crushed. No hope for him. And yeah, this them bowing triggers the giant statue to get up from the chair that he was sitting in constantly, walk around, start crushing them one by one. Who else but Sung Jin-woo kind of determines that they need to head to the statues with instruments that are laid out around the room rather than the ones with weapons. We obviously see one guy appear in front of the weapons knights statues and split in half. Of course, he's a father.
Was this one revere or worship?
This one was,
I think this
praise. They're still on praise God, and them praising God is them going to the instruments and singing a
song. This is the second commandment, though.
Yeah, they're on the second commandment.
Right? So the first one was revere,
which is bow.
Revere
which triggers the second, or sorry, revere God, which triggers the first stage, and then you got to go to the instruments here.
It was funny watching people react to this episode and in this commandment, them being like, I'm getting such Attack on Titan flashbacks.
Yeah.
Like the one girl just is stuck there and it just like, you know, she's so scared she can't move and she gets like squelched and they like show us the beginning of her. Like we get the side angle and
right.
we're like starting to get squelched. And I was like, damn, okay, they're really going all out. And then it just flashes to just, you know, yeah, Park, whatever, the guy who just became, was about to become. Or have his second child, rather, gets cut in half. The other guy gets his arm cut off and then cut in half. And it's just, they're all just screaming and running. And I watched so many reactions and almost all of them were like, this is literally straight Attack on Titan vibes.
They could have easily censored all of the gruesomeness of everything too, but I'm glad that they chose not to and just keep that in because it adds that extra layer of fear and just knowing that it gives you that real visual of, oh shit, things are going so wrong for everybody. So I just love that they decided to keep that in and they didn't feel the need to just hide that kind of stuff from us. So,
yeah, no, for sure. And this, I mean, this command too gives us like Sung is a hero.
Yeah. So Sung
saying he's figuring it out, all that kind of stuff.
Yep. So Sung takes Ju-hee to one of the instruments. However, it doesn't activate since they're both there. It's only one per person. And then this is where things start to go wrong for Sung. And he, like Kyle is saying, he kind of takes on that hero role. At the cost of reaching another statue, he's lost his own leg. It gets completely crushed or sliced off by something in that room. And our boy is down bad.
They did it in a good way. It was like kind of like you could tell maybe something's wrong. But like, again, watching people react, everyone was like, well, he's the main character. So like there's a certain level of plot armor here. So it's whatever. And then his leg is gone. And they were like, oh, shit. OK, like is our main character now just going to be like just a one leg guy?
Yep.
Yeah. It was like, OK, wow. Where is this going?
I think I thought it was kind of funny, though. Ju-hee like runs up to him and is like in his face and then realizes he's lost his leg, where instead of her just noticing it while running up,
just blood everywhere. He like drug himself, just this whole like snail trail line.
She has to get like real close for her to be able to realize, oh my God, he's lost a leg.
That's hard to judge, I guess.
Yeah. I wonder if there are healers who are capable of restoring like amputated.
I think they've said
legs or arms.
I think there probably are. I'm guessing if you're like S tier, you might be able to.
I mean, she's B, which is not nothing to scoff at.
Spoiler alert for anybody who is only tuning in for the episode 2 for any reason. Obviously, we see his legs get regenerated. It's just like that was because of, I think it's easy to assume it's because of his like newfound ability.
That's right.
I wonder, that'd be glitch is all. Like a watcher.
I mean, this might enter spoiler territory, so keep fast forwarding if you're wanting to skip this part. But I think the healer in the beginning in that ant raid on Jeju Island, the S rank.
I think you're right.
Fairly certain that in the manhwa, it gets mentioned, or it's like a flashback that we see him, I think, actually restore someone's like arm or leg. But it takes a lot of like his mana, I'm pretty sure.
And weren't the people that he restored like, they were like,
well, the
they were impaled.
Macerated,
yeah,
definitely.
They were like impaled.
I'm trying to remember too. I feel like it might have been more along the lines like he couldn't just like grow you a new one. He could like reattach it to you.
You might be right.
Oh, that might be it. Yeah.
Type of deal.
Like the arm still has to be salvaged.
Yeah, like his leg. His leg's on the ground. I feel like could pick it up and
just carry it around with him and just like attach this back at some point
and then heal that part of it. Yeah, I feel like being an S-rank healer would be sick, and just in the sense that you probably make so much money, you're probably in some
It would be probably outside of being like a juggernaut. I mean, even arguably better than in real world application, like being an S-rank healer is probably fucking sick. You could cure disease.
You just have so much of the world at your fingertips. Like people will just anything for anything for you.
Badass.
But our group catches a break a little bit here. They have to complete the third part of the commandments. The third part is to prove their faith, and a sacrificial altar appears. they just immediately kind of assume what they need to do. And one of the guys forces Mr. Song to volunteer for the altar. Mr. Song, I mean, obviously he doesn't really say no because he kind of understands what he's done for the group and how he's got them here. I mean, obviously we've all said on the last episode, like, it's not one person's fault. It's whoever voted yes is at fault here. So, I mean,
Mr. Song's just a good guy.
Yeah, I mean, sure, he was being a little greedy, but like, how could any of them known what they were going to get into opening this door? You know, there's just no way. But anyway, he does go to the altar, but nothing really happens. Instead, two sets of flames appear. One is a timer and then one is a counter. Song Jin-woo determines, as usual, that everyone needs to get into the circle of the altar for it to trigger. Once everyone enters the circle, the exit opens up and the statues start to close in on the group. And I just keep saying this over and over again. Our main character just determines the plan here. He sees that the statues will freeze if you look at them. But one person decides to make a run for the exit and there's no consequences for that person leaving. So that puts the rest of the group at a little bit of a conundrum. But they eventually do start to leave one by one. And each time someone leaves, the door closes a little bit more. Sung is convinced that they need to hang out and survive the timer.
Hang out. Yeah, let's chill, guys.
He's just convinced, but they're not going to listen. They see everyone running away and we just get down to our three. But I mean, you can't blame anyone for running. I mean, once that person leaves and you see that there's no issues at all, why would you run? I mean, yes, if I didn't know the outcome of staying.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm sorry, Song. I'd have to leave. I just feel like
that's tough. I love how the first two people to leave are the people that are carrying him.
Yeah, they're just like, sit your ass down.
The guy that apologizes and then just like kind of dumps him on the ground. It's like, adios.
I can't blame anybody here. I mean,
especially that last guy who leaves and he's like literally crying. He's like, I feel so bad, but I have a family. Like, I literally need to get out of here.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
And then they're screwed once, I think, the second person leaves. I think then once the second person leaves, there's more statues than there are eyes for the statues to keep them in place. And now they're each kind of looking more than one at a time down at it, and it's just not
and then
doing anything.
He's not really cooperating that much either, so that's obviously speeding up the time a little bit where they're coming in closer and closer. And I love how, I mean, Mr. Song obviously doesn't realize it at the time, but he's like, take Song, get out of here, you know, I got you guys in here, I'll take responsibility or whatever. And then her legs don't work. So then it's like, okay, well, it just pretty much condemns Song to death right there because he only has one leg.
Of course, they make it so that she just can't even use her legs. She's the one capable person left of walking. And of course, they just have to throw that little wrench in there that she can't use her legs.
It'd be crazy if they left her there.
And then it's Mr. Song's story.
Just picked him up and was like, all right, later.
They should have a what if for this anime. Just what happens if
her and then her getting the fucking power.
Yeah, Juhi stays behind in this situation.
Oh my god. Combo with the heal power she already had, that would actually be insane.
But yeah, Sung is forced to stay behind since he has no right leg. Mr. Song knocks out Juhi in order to carry her out. And our main character is met with a gruesome barrage of attacks, which I think one takes his arm. He's definitely ripped. His insides are definitely ripped to shreds. We're left to believe that his life is taken. And yeah, that's the story of Solo Leveling. It just comes to an end here. There's nothing left. But no, we get the notification screen.
Reactors that were just watching this happen and being like, people that had said, obviously, you know, main character, he's got plot armor, and just being like, what the fuck?
What plot armor are you talking about?
Yeah, just like, what could possibly happen that would make all of this kind of almost like a moot point? But
I just can't wait for those people to see what's to come. We're just scratching at the surface here.
I was really proud of Song Jin-woo in these moments, you know, because he obviously is basically a nobody. And he pulled through for the group and was even willing to sacrifice himself despite his situation.
And the passion, too. I feel like you could tell that there is this like kind of burning, I don't want to say burning desire inside of him, but before I feel like they've only shown him, he's just kind of like, oh, shucks, like rubbing his head kind of guy, like sorry for being.
Yeah, he's got soul.
And then now, you know, he's getting to when he's getting fucking hacked apart when he's like, you know, all these fucking selfish people, like they always win. Like I have a family too. He's getting all pissed and stuff.
So right.
The voice actor was going nuts. That was fucking, it was crazy. This was a great end of the episode.
Go.
Yeah. He fucking gets destroyed here. And I always thought the touch in the manhwa when it's him literally just getting thrown onto the altar was just always so, like, condemning.
Impactful.
Yeah, and impactful. And I like how they recreated it here. It's like him just literally skewered, just getting yeeted onto that altar.
So much blood flowed over the edge. It's just like, yeah.
But the notification screen pops up, and with it, a series of text box that say, "The secret quest, Courage of the Week. You have acquired the qualifications to be a player. Your heart will stop in 2/100ths of a second. If you choose not to accept, will you accept?" Got to be a fat yes all day. I mean, I'm taking all of that damage if it gets me these powers to come.
Yeah, I can't even imagine hesitating. Especially he's literally bleeding everywhere. He has two limbs left.
Take all of my limbs, gut me if you need to. I'll whatever it needs to happen.
You think going into it, like, you would accept the knowledge that that's going to happen for them?
Oh, absolutely. 100% of the time. It would be the worst thing ever, but absolutely.
I guess, but holy shit, I just don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, but what if the stipulation's like you need to survive that?
I mean, it pretty much was. Yeah. He literally needed to
wait until the
blue flame timer went out.
Yeah.
Right. So. Well, you're exactly. That's hard.
You're right.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have that kind of willpower.
I'm just convinced, like. All right.
What? Convinced what?
If you could have just convinced people to stay a little longer, too, you would have been all right. So if
I wonder what happened.
Yeah, I also wonder.
People stayed. I was going to say that.
That's another thing that I, because he's, if he had actually gotten through to everyone and all six of them stayed, what happens? Or maybe, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I know this is like for the story. I feel like there's, once the first person left and they saw the door like close, like they probably could have figured, like, let's just stay. So far, everything else has worked. Mm-hmm. Like, we have enough eyes to keep eyes on the statues, whatever.
Yeah, it's also, I mean, it's the it's whole commitment is like prove that you believe in God, and
right, that was
left.
The thing, test your faith, right?
That's yeah, what the whole thing was. Yeah, they didn't believe.
They didn't test their faith, dude. They're gonna go to hell.
Yeah, yeah.
But what an ending to episode 2. Yeah, for those first time watchers, I just give me more.
And as someone
who's read it, give me more.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we're doing them two at a time. We can just roll right into fucking. Yeah. Get to talk about the next part of it.
This was great about JJK, definitely. Episode 3 opens with Sung Jin-woo awaking in the hospital with all of his limbs intact. Immediately, for some weird reason, as soon as he wakes up, coincidentally, he's greeted by Woo Jin-chul, who's the manager of the Hunters Association's surveillance team. Audience, you'll want to definitely write that name down. I'll probably just call him Woo. Meet the Woo, baby.
Yeah, meet the Woo. Dude, that should have been the name of this episode, dude.
Oh, shit.
The Woo.
Yep. He's going to be one
baby,
of our...
Welcome to the party.
He's going to help. Huh? He's going to be our boy going forward for sure. And he's also with a man named Kang Tae-shik.
Who looks like Megumi, but whatever.
Yeah, the pointed hair. It was just like black hair rather than purple.
Yeah.
We do.
And this is like a great information... Where I could also see people being, I don't want to say upset that we know this and that this is the thing, but like the whole double awakening thing.
Yeah.
I feel like they literally just told us that it can't happen. And then the next episode, it's like, okay, we lied, kind of like it can't happen type of deal. But I didn't give a fuck. I could just see people.
You're right.
I was confused by that as well. I forgot that it was even a thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who cares?
I was watching the legend AO Laxone. And he was like, they were talking about it, and he goes, they're teasing us. Like, there's no way that this is actually happening. Like, they're talking way too much about it. And then he gets the reading that's 10. And they also, we talked about it, I think, last episode, wondering about like how you get ranked and things like that. And I had forgotten almost that mana was like a concept in the world. So that was good too, that they told us that you kind of have like a mana ranking, and mana is like a, a force, a concept, a substance.
Mm-hmm. Out I think it's here. So interesting that you pronounce it mana. I've always said it in my mind's eye as mana.
I always forget because whenever I hear someone say it, I just kind of latch myself onto them. That. Saying, yeah,
I always say mana.
I might say mana.
Mana is like saying like manga
or manga.
Yeah.
That's actually funny.
But yeah, they come in, just tell Sung that he's been asleep for 3 days. There were only six survivors. Of two of the survivors, Mr. Sung, he's going to retire. He's pretty much useless with one arm. And Ju-hee is traumatized to the point where she is also probably just going to retire, just never see a dungeon again in her life, which who can blame her? I mean, she watched about, I forget what the number was, maybe 12 people just get absolutely slaughtered. So,
and again, like she,
real world.
It's not like she's retiring from being a hunter, but she's not retiring from having healing powers. Mm-hmm. So like, she can just have a life. Yeah, exactly.
Be a great doctor, that's for sure. Oh. No credentials, just coming here. Yeah.
I can't diagnose you, but I can heal you. Like, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with you, but I can get it popping.
But yeah, they continue to talk about the situation and the scenario that just occurred. These situations where an entire raid gets wiped are generally very, very rare. It doesn't happen all that often. So when it does happen, these bigger guilds kind of have to investigate the situation. And so in this instance, there's the White Tiger Guild that arrived and found Sung just laying on the ground, limbs intact too. And there was no signs of this door and dungeon that everyone was so afraid of and what everyone was talking about, which very interesting that it just kind of disappeared into thin air like that. And
well, they all do, right?
Well, everyone runs away, but like the door, I think what happens is just like the room and the door just evaporate and Sung is just laying on this ground that used to be the room, but it's not anymore.
Right. Okay. Well,
the original dungeon is still there.
Correct. Yeah.
Are you sure? It doesn't get cleared when it's cleared, doesn't it disappear?
Yeah, but they go into it, they say, though. Like Sung, I guess it doesn't close until everyone's out of it. Maybe I don't know. Or maybe it does. Maybe if they get clear the dungeon, it doesn't close right away. Maybe it still just waits the 7 days and then closes. But
so you're saying Wu was like, we weren't able to explore the second dungeon.
Yeah, they didn't. They had no idea that thing
I
even guess exists.
I understood that way, but I also understood. I was also understanding that like the dungeon in general was gone by that.
Oh, no. I think they found him in the dungeon.
Yeah.
The first part of the dungeon. Yes.
Okay.
Was still there.
But this is where they talk about the second awakening, which Sung kind of cheekily is like, oh, newfound power, maybe. Goes up to the machine. He gets a score of 10, which I wish they incorporated this more. I'm just going to say it for all the first time listeners. They're never going to ever talk about this power score machine ever again. It would be nice to be able to go around to each person and just kind of know what their power level is.
It's and like Sung's, Dragon Ball Z though.
Yeah, they do it here and then it's never brought up again. So Sung is a 10 and they say here most E ranks are above 70. So that even doubling down on how fucking weak he is. Yeah, it's crazy, but
yeah.
Weak ass.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it'd be cool though just to know the power level of him by the end. It would be so badass.
It's fair, but it becomes so irrelevant almost because
yeah, you're right. I
just
mean,
like this Dragon Ball Z, like everyone stops giving.
Yeah, when 9,000 used to be considered like very high. And
that reminds me of Seven Deadly Sins. There was like power scales,
they
and
still kept up with it. Though.
They did, but I thought it was stupid.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. I thought it was stupid.
I personally always like it, but I think powers. You're right. Power scales are generally pretty stupid for shows. I think in general,
it's like stupid, like
it's
the big ass
to keep consistent over time. It's just kind
of like, I think of Escanor and his fight.
Yeah. It was like, that was Meliodas is thinking about the number and it's like, it's only going up and everyone's worried, but it's the enemy, but it's actually
right.
Yeah. Our boy.
Like, I think it's enough to like sense power. I don't think you really need to, and auras. I don't really think there needs to be a numerical value to powers, you know, unless it's over 9,000.
that is fair.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sung is still seeing the notification screen, and apparently others cannot see it, as his sister also comes in and cannot see the screen and she quickly visits him. But he opens the notification box for the first time for just more notification boxes to appear. The system is they're reading. The system is designed to assist in the development of the player. Failure to comply with the system may result in a penalty, and the rewards have been delivered. So about a lot of screens going on here, and he gets another one immediately after that says a new daily quest. Then the words strength training appear on the screen, and he needs to complete a list of exercises, and failure to do so will result in a punishment. And
he fails.
Did you guys recognize those exercises?
Were they exactly yes. One Punch Man's?
Yes. So the funniest comment was like, damn, it's like all he was, thank God he got to keep his hair or something like that.
Yeah.
Arguably his hair gets even cooler from this strength training. But I guess this is the new thing. I guess someone's got to go out there and really put this workout routine to the test. And
there's people that did it on YouTube.
I've seen some videos, on YouTube. Yeah.
I mean, that's hard.
Dude, 100 push-ups is a lot.
100 push-ups is a lot. I think that's probably, for me, I think it'll be the easiest. 100 squats.
Would be the fucking worst.
The run would be the hardest. Dude, 10 kilometers? That's nothing to sneeze at. That's like 7 miles.
Yeah, I was going to say, help us Americans out here. What is that?
Dude,
7
that's
miles?
Way too much per every day.
Like, I guess if you split it up, but then you'd have to like split everything else up. Like, it's a lot.
He's probably working out. What do you think? Like 4 hours minimum a day?
6.2 miles. That's way too much for me to just start with. My shins would be busted after.
Shins, forget that. Your lungs.
Spending 4 hours
collapse.
A day at least working out. Which
wakes up and he's hustling.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the hospital, so he's
still
really
so
nothing else to do.
So worth it, though.
Yeah.
But of course, Sung opts not to participate in this.
He just rolls over.
He's like, someone's playing a joke on me. Yeah, like this is a fucking joke. But yeah, the timer goes up and he's transported to a desert wasteland where he needs to survive 4 hours against gigantic desert centipedes.
Which is he definitely ran way longer than 10 kilometers.
Oh my God. In that punishment alone. Oh yeah. Easily.
Running for 4 hours straight. I mean, he easily probably went like 15 to 20 miles.
Yeah. No, thank you.
I would die.
I'm like, it's still so surprising that he survives as an E rank against those fucking centipedes, but plot armor starts to kick in a little bit here. Yeah.
Yes.
But Juhi visits, not that it's important because I don't think they interact, right? I think she just visits and is kind of just watching him do his exercise.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. Like, why didn't she just go down there and like say hi?
Yeah, who knows?
Who cares?
Traumatized.
She's shy.
Yeah. But he does come to realize that beating the daily quest will generate him 3 rewards. One is full recovery. 2 is 3 ability points. And 3 is a random loot box. All those numbers are fucking with my head a little bit. And 3 is a random loot box. And this is where things are just so fucking fun for us as viewers and just imagining things, because Sung Jin-Woo is looking at 3 screens, essentially. One is his ability screen, which he can generate or distribute his ability points for either strength, agility, perception, vitality, and intelligence. He has a skill and inventory screen as well on the side. So we know he's going to be getting skills at some point. He might have his inventory filled with maybe a weapon that he carries. But other than that, this is where it's like a game, man. This is the most fun part about
the story. I literally remember reading this for the first time and being like, fuck, this is so cool. Like, I can't wait to just like watch the numbers and the skills get developed and like unlocking new skills and like building the inventory, like all that shit. It's just like,
this is the best part of the whole story, without a doubt, is this system. It's the system.
And then pure strength build out of
I was gonna,
Dave Tall to build.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you guys, is where would you guys go? I think definitely fuck vitality. Who gives a shit about health? I think that has to do with like health, something like that maybe.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't spend any points there.
I honestly would distribute it pretty evenly, I think.
I feel like I would only focus strength.
I would do intelligence and strength probably.
I would have to at least dabble with intelligence just to know what that felt like. Because he says when he puts the strength in, he's like, I can feel myself stronger. I wonder what it would feel like to like up your intelligence rank. And
the intelligence, I think, though, is like, well, I guess yes, it will also make him smart, but like I feel like it's more related to like how much mana he's capable of holding.
Fantastic point. So Yeah.
But it definitely helps
more
with
to it. Yeah.
Intelligence.
It definitely helps him with intelligence.
Like intuition, senses, like all that.
That would be helpful from
top foreheads, what the other ones are. Stamina, vitality.
No, it's
isn't
just
like dexterity
five.
Ones.
It's just five. There's only the five that
Christmas I saw. Check.
The only five that I saw were strength, agility, perception, vitality, intelligence. So perception, I really wouldn't give a fuck about, to be honest.
I probably would have definitely dabbled in some agility.
I would do agility and strength, probably just those two, just jam them up so high.
Oh, that's what it was. I would definitely do agility, strength, and intelligence, those three. And I feel like I'd be like the best.
You would literally just be what we're, where you'd be heading down the same path as a certain someone. We won't give that away.
I feel like, to be honest, yeah, I would maybe do.
That's what like Song's whole
agility,
thing is. Like
I feel like
three.
Agility and vitality would be the ones. Because I feel like I would totally be scared at the start. I need a bigger health bar because all I know is getting my ass kicked.
Not a bad
dude,
idea.
Dude, my three stats would whoop your three stats.
Nah, I could last longer. And I could dodge.
Last longer?
Yep. Yeah. You'd be lumbering around.
Going on. So he opens the random box, and that gives him a key, which will open up a instant dungeon somewhere in Japan. Sung then, once he has the strength, is able to visit his own mother in the hospital, and we get a little bit more of the backstory of her reasons for being in the hospital. One day, she just randomly fell into an internal sleep known as final rest, which is a disease that came into existence with the appearance of Gates. It's just when your body is continually exposed to mana. I guess it just kind of gives out on you, and you're put into this internal sleep, and she is a victim of one of them. And it's, I think they said one in several 10,000 or something like that. Yeah, so it's very small number, but she is afflicted with it.
Yeah, not a ton to say here. But obviously, this is fairly, we'll say tropey, maybe.
Yeah.
But I like where that storyline ends up going, and it just adds that dimension of inspiration, the reason why he's gonna, you know, get up and do 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 squats, run 10 kilometers beyond just wanting to not get dumped into a desert with a bunch of poison centipedes.
Yeah.
So I like that they're just building that part out of him.
Yeah, and I just like the aspect of how it's, you know, the gates appeared 10 years ago, and it's not just good effects and hunters are born and you can harvest all these resources inside of the gates. You know, there's also these severe negative consequences with them. And so I mean, it just helps build the world a little bit. Yeah, it's a little tropey that, you know, main character's mom is sick, you know, slash dead kind of, and leads to that trope, but I think it's fine. Like you said, it's totally, totally good story going forward. But yeah, now this is the time he says goodbye to his mom, not knowing where this dungeon is going to take him, but he does enter this instant dungeon, which he determines is a separate dimension from his own.
Because the chick walked through the door, pretty much.
Yeah, it still takes place in the world, but
it's not the same as the dungeons we've seen so far, right? Like, it's not like a whole new layout. It seemed to actually take place in the subway, except it was
and you don't have a way of determining the dungeon strength either. Usually when a gate appears, you can determine its strength, but he has to go in blind, which is one of the main issues for him. But as he enters, he's quickly met with three goblins, and to his own surprise, he does take them down quickly, but not so easily, I would say. He's still kind of feeling a little weak, which I guess blame him. He's still getting used to the new strength that he's finding, but he took that knife damage from the goblin. I'm like, come on, bro. What is all this training for, you know?
It's one thing to have the stats. It's another thing, I think, to be in the heat of battle. So he's just
That's actually a great way to put it. No,
iron
that's a great way to put
iron.
It. Yeah.
Iron sharpens iron.
He fucks up those goblins. He definitely does.
He likes it, too. He likes it.
Yeah, he loves feeling powerful.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
totally
blame
does.
Him either. But shortly after, a steel-fanged lichen appears. Did the goblins... Do you know if they did it show like the name over the goblins? Yep. What color was the name?
It wasn't red.
Okay. Was it just like grayed out or yellow? Okay.
Red is legit.
Yeah. They'll talk about that in the next episode. So it's not really, I think, a spoiler to bring it up here, or they'll get to it eventually. It's not a terrible.
I think anybody who's watching the show noticed that it was red versus the goblins. Like,
I hope so. I mean, I feel like early on when he is transported to the desert I feel like you're maybe not paying attention too much. It does appear in red, those the centipedes, maybe in like a dark, deep red. I don't think you really are to note that, but I think because you see the goblins in yellow, I think that should give some inclination.
Definitely.
What that implies. And I think a lot of people play, like a lot of our listeners play World of Warcraft. It's the same fucking thing in World of Warcraft where if, you know, if it's three, if it's within three levels, it's yellow. If it's within five or more, it's red. So it's the same kind of premise there. But before we wrap this up, the last quick scene that we get in the kind of in the middle of this episode is just we're at the Hunter's Guild, which is Troy's guild, the pink-haired man. He asks Hache in if she would be the next B-raid instructor to train the new recruits of the Hunter's Guild. Again, this is a new scene for us. Don't really have many comments on it. The only thing that we get here really is Troy talking about the Hunter's Guild, saying that it's a top five guild in the country, but internationally, it's a nobody.
What's a good way to introduce like that idea?
Yeah, just something for people to like, you know, just pencil intriguing in the back of their head was that like internationally, these gates are a problem. Like it's not just in this country alone. It's an international thing.
Yeah. And it's just, I mean, are we going to meet the other four guilds? What about these top rank international guilds that make this guild that clearly has an S rank? Hunter that has this guy who's the leader.
Two S ranks.
Yeah, the guy, I mean, we saw him a little bit in action in episode one, so I think they're doing a good job of expanding the world, but not like going at it like too fast so that you can't really grasp all of it. I feel like you're coming away from these three episodes and you like understand a lot of main concepts in the world. It's not like too much and it's all interesting, so.
I think it's an important distinction that we should make to those watching and listening. There's a Hunter's Guild and there's a Hunter's Association.
Yeah, the Hunter's Guild is the guild hunters. Yeah,
I think it's weird.
Very imaginative when they made that up.
The Hunter's Association would look over the Hunter's Guild for those listening. The Hunter's Association is just the one that overlooks all the guilds, I think. I think we've only been introduced
to the White Tiger too,
which the leader of that guild we saw at the very beginning of episode one. On the ant raid, he's the one. Yeah,
he's
got some beasts coming up, man. And
yeah,
I think,
yeah, good stuff.
The next time you hear from us, we're gonna be two more episodes in, and I think just fire from there. I don't think we can expect anything to slow down anytime soon.
I said at the top, it's going. We're past the point of no return already. Like we're three episodes in, and there's no stopping it. Like we're going downhill, and we're gonna go. I mean, uphill, I guess, but in terms of speed, downhill, fast and recklessly, and awesomely, and gruesomely, and badassly, and every fucking positive, entertaining adjective I could think of off the top of my head.
Yeah. Do we feel the need to have? I guess there's maybe a couple things I'll bring up. So right now we're gonna head into our spoiler-filled portion of this discussion. So we'll give a couple seconds for everyone to leave the room a little bit here. And
if you're watching on YouTube and you see us like looking down on our phones, it's because Joel Embiid has.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for fucking it. I wanted to apologize to you guys after he put up 65. Bro, he had 15.
It's still happening.
Three quarters.
Still having 66 now. It's literally currently
in the
happening.
First quarter, 34 in the second half.
He's going to drop 70 tonight.
Let's go Sixers, baby.
All right, so let's wrap up this spoiler talk quick so we can watch him drop 70.
Yeah, the only thing I really want to talk about, I guess, is the system. And I just, because we were talking about like where we would distribute our points and things like that. And Alki was saying, oh, like I would just distribute them strength, agility, and intelligence, which legitimately I think is what Sung Jin Woo prioritizes, those three. And that's what gets him the Necromancer class. I think this kind of goes into what we were talking about at the beginning, where we were kind of talking about spoilers, where I just think in terms of when people leaving, like I think the Monarch, the Shadow Monarch, just knew that people were going to leave. Like, I think he just knew that no one would prove their faith.
They were weak enough where you presented them with that option. They were going to take it.
Yes. And I think that's what separates, like, I'm sure like if two of them stayed, maybe something would have happened, but I don't think both of them
like
are getting
a battle royale to the death.
Maybe, but I don't think both of them are, you know, getting the powers, essentially, is what I'm saying. Like, I think,
no, definitely not.
I think just because the Monarch knew how this was going to play out, like he scouted Sung Jin Woo, knew that he was going to be the only one to just stick it out. I think that was I don't think there should have ever been a discussion, I guess, is what I'm saying, about, oh, what if two people stayed behind? Like, I just don't think that was ever an option.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
No, wasn't going to happen.
Definitely not, but you have to wonder, I guess, like, anything's possible. And if you, I don't know. Because at the end, the way it all ends with, like, are we allowed, am I allowed to go this deep?
Yeah, yeah.
Spoiler. Like, the way it all ends with him, like, redoing it 50,000 times. Like, there is a possibility, I suppose, like, there, what if one of those times two of them stayed? You know what I'm saying?
That might have fucked up a lot of the plans.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That
probably set them back, but...
Yeah.
I think in the next episode, are we going to get the snake at the end of it, the basilisk, do you think? Or do you think it's just going to be him fighting the wolves?
What happens in this dungeon? Like,
he fights the wolves, gets the title of the Wolf Slayer, which he can equip, which gives him plus 20 attack against
like
these.
Sick.
Yeah, it's so cool. And then once he fights those things, he kind of keeps going down the dungeon because it hasn't disappeared yet. Feels a presence down there, and he's like, ah, shit, that thing's strong, but we got to test out our strength, and it's the basilisk, and he'll reap the rewards.
Yeah, what's the reward? Does he get a blade from it?
He gets a blade. He gets a poison, which is so stupid because the poison that he gets, he literally, it's only to show that he's immune to poison. Like, he gets the poison, he's like, what does this do? He kind of like drinks it, and it's like, oh, yeah, your powers allow you to not feel the poison. And it's like,
he can
okay,
get
well,
drunk too. That's so funny when that happens.
Yeah. So a lot to look forward to. Any final comments from you guys so we can get the Sixers game in?
No, I
how does he get the dagger?
What dagger?
The one he uses. He had it,
I guess. I was thinking the same thing. So I think that's just the one that he's had, or maybe he bought a new shitty one. Because I know for a fact he's gonna pull out the dude's sword, Mr. Sung's sword, at some point. That's in his inventory. Like, this dagger's gonna break, and he's gonna say, okay.
And then he looks in his inventory, and it's there.
And, then Mr. Sung's sword,
the guy who lost his arm.
But then that'll break too at some point. Or if
doesn't he use one of the teeth eventually, a tooth of something for
Rasaka's. I think the beast name is Rasaka or something, and the weapon's name is Rasaka's Fang.
Yeah, that's why. Okay.
That's what you're thinking of. But
bro, oh, this shit gets banger. You guys think the power is the best? I think his necromancing is the best, which I guess is his power, but I think the necromancing is the best.
It's just the aspect of the fact that he's just able to distribute his skill points and just reap the benefits of it just right away.
67.
And
I know we're trying to wrap this up. But now that we're in the spoiler mode, like, I really can't think of a place to cut, like, this, like, how the arc, like, how is the arc until you get to the ants? There's no real arc.
No, there's no like arcs, I would say.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, I mean, he beats
like challenges built in.
Yeah, that's what it
true.
Is. They're kind of just like that. It's just boss after boss after boss. Like, it'll be this thing, and then I think he fights the brother of the S rank hero and kills him, and then that arc begins.
The red gate. Maybe they end at the red.
And then, he fights the other assassin, the guy that we just met in episode two.
Yeah, I'm just 12, man. That's fucked up.
Okay, so one last thing we can try and guess is, where do you think season one, knowing that it's only 12 episodes, is going to end? Then
probably like right when he lifts the first person, right?
Oh, that would suck. I think we're definitely getting the Idris fight. Like, that has to happen season one.
Yeah.
It might legitimately be.
Or maybe when isn't his first guy the shield guy?
No, he gets resurrected.
He gets that guy from the Red Gate, because that's like a human that he resurrects.
It's the first human that he resurrects.
Red Gate is the whole Che introduction, right?
The Red Gate is when he's in like the snow. Yeah, with the snow.
And that's what the guy was talking about in this episode, right?
Yeah, he mentions the red gate in this episode.
Well, he said this B-level gate. That's it, right? No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, yeah. No, that's it. No. He is right, because they don't know it's a red gate. Like, they're just like, okay.
It turns red after they go in,
Yes. So that is what I wanted to kind of bring up too in this. That's what I forgot. That's what I wanted to bring up here is that.
Oh, he got 70 and just got subbed out. I'm so sorry to interrupt you. But
A shame. At least he got 70, though. First career high, baby.
He got 70?
Yeah, subbed out, standing ovation.
Dude, 70
literally dapping up every single person on the bench
The third or fourth highest of all time.
Yeah.
Booker
just had 71 a couple years ago, right?
Who did?
Devin Booker.
Fuck him. Yeah, got Kobe it against wet one. Bananas, though.
Kobe has one.
Kobe has 81.
Yeah, well, I mean, that counts as a 70-point game, though.
I'm looking it up right now. Wilt, Kobe, Wilt again at 78. This is going to be...
Wilt again.
I mean, Wilt's literally six of the top 12, maybe seven of the top 12 games. But Joel Embiid will be at tied at number 12 with
70.
Wilt Chamberlain and Devin Booker.
Did Devin Booker not have 71? How many did David Robinson?
I'm thinking of Damian Lillard and Damian Mitchell both had 71 last.
Oh my God.
Damian Lillard?
The same night, too.
It was on the same night. I think it was on the same night.
Or maybe Devin Booker's was. It was one of them.
Devin Booker's was a few years ago.
Or like 2 days ago.
Devin Booker's was like years ago now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one in 20, that was 2017.
Yeah.
Because Joel had like a 63-point game last season, I think.
No, his highest has been 59 until like now, right?
I think it was 60. I think he did break 60 one time.
I think he had one last year.
Bro, that's crazy, bro.
Yeah, there's just a long list of people tied.
I can't wait to watch the highlights. He's probably muscling that bitch boy everywhere.
All right. Any final thoughts?
Out, Dave. Yeah. Play us out.
All right, that's going to be it for today's episode coverage of Solo Leveling. If you like what you heard, give Binchtown TV a follow on all of our socials at Binchtown TV on X, Insta, YouTube, the works. Definitely check out our Discord as well. That'll be located in the episode description down below for all of you. Lastly, for all of our podcast catalog of all of the episodes that we've covered in a nice, neat, organized fashion, you can check out our website, BingeTownTV.com. And if I didn't say it enough, once again, we are Binchtown TV, and thanks for listening.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 6.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.